Hello, everybody from San Diego. We are here at the 49th AASV annual meeting. My name is Samantha Anthony. I'm a second year veterinary student from Oklahoma State University. And today I have Dr. Joel Sparks from Audubon Manning Veterinary Clinic. And he's here to talk about his presentation over the 10 commandments of sow farm production. So Dr. Sparks, if you just wanted to introduce yourself and tell us a little about what you do.
Oh, sure. Great thing. Well, I'm glad to be here, Samantha. It's an honor. So I'm originally from Michigan and went to Michigan State for undergrad. My passion for pigs took me out to Iowa State. During that time is when I became familiar with AMVC. They had an opportunity out east, Indiana and Ohio, around the time I was graduating. That's how I got out there. And so now my current roles with them, veterinary roles and then also some production roles with some of the managed sow farms that we work with.
Okay, great. So today your presentation topic was entitled 10 Commandments of Sow Farm Production. Could you list those 10 commandments and maybe give us some background on what motivated you to put these 10 together for your presentation today?
Yeah, most definitely. Well, the 10 that I had, so welfare, team, breed target, gilts, flow, husbandry, biosecurity, movement, neighbor, and profitability. So those were the 10 I had, and so how I came up with the list and why it was 10. I guess 10 is, just kind of what you think about the top 10 list on the late show or something like that, or the 10 commandments, there's 10 of those. So that's why I picked 10, and it's like, okay, if we could condense things that have to happen on a sow farm to be productive or be successful, if I had to condense that down to 10 things, 10 takeaways for a talk like this, what would they be? And so that's how I came up with those 10.
So you've developed these 10 different guidelines. And I think when we look at practice tips or a new veterinarian or an experienced veterinarian out in the field and they see one of these commandments not being followed through with, what are your recommendations or how do you see best fit for veterinarians to address that specific commandment and go about that way to get it implemented in the sow farm?
Right. Ultimately, yeah, we as a veterinarian, we should fulfill a role. We want to add value to whatever role we're in. So we see a problem with, we see something that could be changed or could be better to, we think, add value to the farm and to what it makes productive. We first, and I put this in one of the slides, we need to understand our role as a veterinarian, and that can vary farm to farm. Sometimes you're assigned or hired on to come on there and do a simple health check, and that's about all the ownership and all the manager wants you there to do, and they don't want anything else. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they want you to do more and add value because you should be able to do that. And in other situations, you're going on the farm and it's the understanding of the management, upper management, farm management, ownership, that you're there to make production recommendations and management decisions or help make those management decisions. So I think, first off is understand what your role is and what people expect your role to be. Once there, make sure that you communicate clearly with who you need to communicate clearly with. So, quick example, say I'm in a farm and I see problems with the breed practice. We're not leaving boars out. We want good boar exposure when we're breeding animals. And if we're not getting good boar exposure, options are, I could talk directly to the employee. I could talk to the manager. I could write a report and send it to the owner. I got to understand. So a situation, probably not talk to the employee, maybe talk to them. And especially if the manager's with me, that's great. We can have a conversation about that. If I talk directly to the employee, it can kind of cause, confusion, because then they go back to their manager and say, hey, well, the vet told me to do this, which might not be accurate. So understand there's, what your role is, and then clearly communicate it with who it needs to be communicated with to make it happen. And again, hopefully to add value to whatever the situation might be.
Great. Yeah, that definitely follows through with what I was planning to ask you next, just about your second commandment, team. You just mentioned pigs are the easy part, people are the hard part, but I think you went ahead and answered my question in a great way, just talking about that hierarchy and how it does differ from farm to farm, and you need to be able to make that smooth transition to know where your role is and make sure at the end of the day the pigs are taken care of and the sow is running properly.
Yeah.
So I guess going on to your fourth commandment, you listed as guilt, not trash thy guilt, which I think is a great way to put that. So you just mentioned, you know, at each sow farm, they may have their guilt arriving at different ages or have their own guilt developer unit, and you may have certain employees on that farm who work with just the sows or have to go from sows to guilt or vice versa. And what do you think is the best way to kind of bridge that gap with the employees and just kind of address that, you know, guilts are different than sows, and we need to keep in mind that the guilts are the future of this program?
Yeah, well, and again, that kind of what we, you know, you mentioned team there was the second commandment, you know thy team, and so it goes kind of back to, again, working with the people, so make sure they're trained on what they're doing, and they know what they're doing and why they're doing it, and then make sure you follow through with them. So, you know, on the topic of guilt, yeah, different sow farms have different setups. And we, you know, at some point, a farm's going to become responsible for their replacement guilt. And there's usually some type of quarantine, isolation, GDU, guilt developer unit, that they'll receive their guilts into. And depending on the setup, some farms get those in their ISO weans. Sometimes farms get them in their 50-pound feeder pig size, what their guilts are. Sometimes they get them as 200-pound selects. So, you know, understanding it, and then again working with the manager and the crew to make sure they understand, you know, what kind of care we get them as ISO weans. That takes extra effort, because there's a lot that goes into taking care of a young wean pig. You know, so making sure, understanding what the setup is, and then making sure the training's in place for that, because they are the future of the farm. And like I made mention earlier, they can be really good at doing things on the sow farm. They can be really good employees, and then we expect them to go, you know, across the yard or down the road to our quarantine or to our GDU, and fulfill a wean to finish role or a grow finish role. And it's, pigs are pigs, but there are some differences there. So again, understanding what the setup is for your farm. Are we getting them as ISO weans? Are we getting them as selects? And what do we need to do over there? You know, what kind of care does it take? Are we leaving enough time for whoever's going to be going over there to chore and care for the animals? You know, and again, a couple of the other points on that, making sure we're raising our guilts right, making sure daily care is there, what we've been talking about, making sure you have a good vaccination and acclimation protocol set in place. Hopefully you've got enough square footage, because that's important for guilts. And then you get plenty of boar exposure, especially when they're getting older and they're getting close to moving over to the sow farm.
Great. Now I think going on to our next question, your fifth commandment was flow, control thy flow. So stepping over from guilts to the sow aspect of the farm. With this being a practice tip session and with different veterinarians, new or experienced, kind of coming into swine production with, you know, lots of sow farm experience or very little. I know for myself in the past couple of years going from different farms, it's taken me some time to understand the flow and how the operation works. So do you have any recommendations or some practice tips how to really get a good understanding of flow types from farm to farm?
Yeah, yeah. And we kind of went over like a sow farm flow. You know, flow is a term that's thrown around a lot of times. And there's flow through the sow farm. There's also a wean to finish flow, you know, as far as we've got different sow farms going into different wean to finish barns, and that'll be marketed. So, and we focused on the sow farm flow. And yeah, to get a good grasp of it, boy, you just kind of got to get knee deep or shoulder deep into it and get into some situations with it. But, you know, so we explained there's roughly 20, 21 groups on a farm. You've got your breed groups, your 16 or so gestation groups, and then you've got four groups in farrowing. And every week you're going to wean a group, you know, you'll wean a group that's in farrowing. And one thing I didn't point out is you might wean twice a week, might wean once a week, but on a weekly basis, you'll wean one of those groups. And then you're going to have a new week, there'll be a breed group, and then they'll go through gestation for 16 weeks and they'll be back at farrowing. So, and, you know, understanding that, you know, one point we weren't able to go into detail in the talk was, you breed for a given group, and you say you breed, you know, many weeks are defined Sunday to Saturday. So that's your breed group, and that's your gestation group. Typically, you know, we're on week 10 here. We're going into week 10. So you're going to have your week 10s, and they're going to be that way all the way till farrowing. The 114, which many sows will go 115, 116 days of gestation, that doesn't line up exactly to be 16 weeks down the road. So you breed a set of animals for a given week. They're not all going to farrow a given week. And so there's going to be some overlap there. And if you got a good farm manager, and sometimes this takes work and development, but they have to, you know, basically determine what's flowing into farrowing, and they have to balance that, because again, it's not going to match up. It's not like, okay, we're going to load all our group 10s into farrowing now. It's time for them to farrow. It's going to be, you're going to load, you know, part of your group 10s and part of your group 9s or something. You know, there's going to be some overlap of groups there, and because if you bred that animal, say she was a gilt, she came in heat on Saturday, the end of the week, that's going to correspond to a different week when it comes down to farrowing. And so understanding that, keeping routine or keeping consistency in your breed groups. Again, like our example, we said 140 was our breed target. So if you hit that every week, that's going to be a lot simpler. But if you're up and down, say you, oh shoot, we came up, we bred 135, so we're short. We got to make up for that. So let's breed 145 next week. You're going to have a lot of variation. That's going to be harder when you get on the farrowing end to keep that consistent going in there. And so another big part about that is, you know, making sure that's flowed correctly helps you keep pig age. You want to keep good age in there. And so that's another thing, because you got a group of sows and you want them to farrow in a given block. However many rooms that may be. Again, in our example, we said 2 rooms. So they should all be farrowed out by a certain date. And then we should move to our next block. And so those are some things. And yeah, so from where you're sitting to try to become familiar with it, understand, you know, just kind of think about the numbers that we talked about. And, you know, so, okay, we got 16 weeks and, you know, 16 weeks gestating and 4. And so what would that look like on a farm? Also helps, you know, say, if I walk into a farm, can I, you know, how long would it take me to find, you know, the different groups? You know, if you go to into gestation barn, I want to find the group that was, you know, bred 10 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago. And there was a lot of other details we could go into there of, you know, if you've got stalls or pens, or if you got all stalls or, you know, partial stalls and some pens, and, you know, if you've got a breed snake or a breed area, and we didn't go into all those details, but it's something we could have, so.
No, yeah, I just got to get in there and take a walk through and figure it out and see how it works.
Yeah.
So I guess one of my last specific questions about the Ten Commandments was probably my favorite commandment, which I think maybe not a lot of people would have brought to attention, but was commandment number 9, neighbor. I thought that was a great point. You mentioned community outreach, environmental management, and just overall being clean and organized and keeping the place kept tidy for, you know, visitors or just people coming in on a daily basis, whether they're bringing pigs, feed, whatnot. Do you think we, as just a veterinarian, and within that hierarchy already of the team, you know, this may be a different subject that may not be directly aimed at us to help them with, but if there's an issue with, you know, honoring thy neighbor and kind of this kind of topic, that may be a little touchy for us. You know, do you have any recommendations how to address that, or have you had to address that before?
Yeah. The honor, honor thy neighbor and don't look ugly, right?
Yeah.
That was the one. So if we see a place that doesn't look good, and how would we address that? Yeah. Well, it's sometimes, because that one after that, I put in tag, you know, we've got to understand who's the owner, ask who's the owner and who makes decisions for that farm. And generally, hopefully, the owner is on board with wanting the place to look well. And there are different situations. Again, it's understanding your role and allowing the owner and the management staff to, you know, through you building a relationship with them, they will then gain confidence in you, and your opinions and suggestions and recommendations will have more strength with that. So, and again, explaining the whys about it. So it's not a, you know, sometimes having trash laying around, it's hard to always connect a direct why with that, but I think we can be creative and understand why. So You know, if it's the lawn's not mowed very well and we've got weeds growing up, well, that's a good place for rodents to hang out, and that is a biosecurity risk. And so, kind of, you know, that's an example explaining it. And then just say, you know, so if it is getting kind of trashy, you can explain, hey, you got a bunch of junk there, and you know, you got a plan for that. Then what? You know, you got people driving by, and you know, what are they going to think about that? So. Generally, and again, it's kind of a little bit of an art. You know, we talk about the science and the art. So you go in there, and when you're working with people, you got to come to a point of persuasion, and say, and if you see something that needs to be done, try and sell it to them and convince them that they need it. And so that might be the other thing. And, you know, say, hey, we do have you might have an audit coming up, third party audit or something like that. Say, yeah, we need to make sure we clean up. We just want to look presentable. We want to look good. So, and then the community outreach part, you know, again, that's kind of an ownership thing. You know, some owners will be really excited about that. Others don't want anything to do with it, and they've got their reasons too. You know, they say, hey, that gives us more exposure, and we don't want that or need that. So. And again, I think you know, we are ambassadors for swine production all the time. So we as veterinarians won't always, you know, need a sow farm to back us in that, for us to, you know, go into a school or something and talk about what pig farming's like. But yeah, as far as like a meat donation, I don't know. That's something our group does commonly, and, you know, meat donation to a food locker, you know, giving them pork or something. So. It's just, yeah, something we've gotten used to, and it is a good way to build a good relationship with the community. So.
Yeah, I think that's great, and there's definitely differences from farm to farm, what they're capable of doing and willing to do, and that's totally fine, whatever way. But yeah. I know for me that's something I'd want to, you know, pursue down the road. But okay, so my final question for you, we have those 10 commandments. So your top three were welfare, team, and breed target. I think those are definitely, you know, I think it's easy to see why those may be your top three, but what can you tell us and maybe go into some detail why you chose these as your top three?
Yeah, and because I've heard with these practice tips, you know, you want to leave some takeaways with the group, and I think in 10 things, that's too many for me to remember. I could barely remember it for the talk. So what are the top three? And that's, so I left them with three things. And why those are the top three? Well, welfare, I think, again, we as the veterinarian, as I mentioned there, we are an advocate for the animal. We have an oath that we took to be dedicated to welfare. And AASV has our position statement and gets a little bit more specific, you know, towards pig production. So we as a veterinarian have a role to fill, and we're an advocate for the animal, but beyond that, you know, the other selling point of this, and again, this is kind of the persuasive part of it, is if we do the right thing for the pig always wins. And so if we do the right thing for the pig's going to be, you know, productive for us, and it should be a synergistic relationship. So that was the one, you know, that was the welfare one, and that was one. So welfare, team, and then, yeah, so team, that's the people are essential. They're essential, and they're a critical part of making sow farm production happen. You know, again, we've got lots of animals and a few people that make everything happen there. And so if you don't have a team that doesn't act like a team, if they aren't getting along, or if they're not trained well, or if somebody's not checking on them to make sure they're doing things right, if you don't have somebody there, or they don't have things in place to motivate them, you're going to have a lot of trouble getting stuff done that needs to be done. So, and again, like people say it all the time, pigs are easy. It's people that are difficult, or people that are the challenge. And if you get a good working team, though, it's not a challenge. It's an excitement. It's good to, you know, then you're working on real problems, and you're saying, what can we do to be better? So, and then breed target, that was the final of the three takeaways, welfare, team, breed target. Because, again, when we've got sows and gilts that we breed, they gestate, they farrow, and then they wean. And because at the sow farm, we need to get pigs weaned. We need to send pigs off. And so if we are short on breed target, we're going to be short on how many pigs we have to go out the door. So that was the kind of final one is like, and that's, you know, one thing when I'm working with farms and from a production standpoint, boy, I'm usually asking, how are we at, where are we at on breeds for the week? How many breeds did we have last week? Are we going to make breed target this week? We're not going to have any problems, are we? Checking in on that. So yeah, welfare, team, and breed target. Those are the three main ones.
I think those are a good three to kind of sum it up as big takeaways. So is there anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, I think we were able to cover things well.
Awesome. Okay, well, first off, just want to give a big thanks to Dr. Sparks for coming and speaking with us today. And I hope whether you're a novice veterinarian or experienced swine veterinarian listening, I think you can take some benefit from these 10 sow farm commandments as some practice tips. So once again, thank you for your time and thanks for listening.
Well, thank you.